It was a dark and stormy night. Most of my messages at the early years started out with that and trying to be under the tutorage of Dr. James Potter, who was my mentor. I want to thank you, Brother Bobby, for the privilege and the honor of being able to come home. This is more home for Elaine and I than any place. Even though I've spent 20 years in Alabama, we've always looked at the Queen City as the prettiest place in the South. And also, this church had an impact upon our lives and our children's lives like no other place that we've had. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to ask you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Starting with verses 4, our message this morning is legacy. Is it really that important? Let me tell you, it really is. For you see, there were people in this church some 30 plus years ago that had a profound impact upon Elaine, my life, and also the lives of my two boys. Now, I know that I'm going to mention some names here. Some have already gone on to glory. But I want to tell you what, I still thank God for them. And some of those names that may be left off, at 68, I've earned the right to forget. So please do not be insulted that I may not have mentioned your name. But let me say this. These were people who were literally involved in youth ministry in some capacity, either as parents or as youth leadership, or even some of those deacons who literally helped advise me along the way. And literally, having taken that has made a difference in my life and my ministry's life. And so goes the legacy you too are in the process of establishing. These names would consist of, just allow me the privilege of 1 minute to going through them. I won't even mention the first because I did not have a church directory to look at. These were common. So I had a difficult time with last names, much less the first names. But the Harrises, the Smiths, the Parkers, the Mitchells, the Boyntons, the Hollands. No, they're not in alphabetical order because I couldn't remember them in alphabetical order. The Byrds, the Trailers, the Nails, the Thompsons, the Egglestons, the Gars, Mary Eford, Erdene Roach, Bev Jordan, Tuckers, Boyntons, Duncans, Carters, Goebbels, Branches, Spences, Hartmans, Bennetts, Bacotes, McIntoshes, Kaisers, Upchurches, Todds, Eberleys. And yes, one of our own who's still with us, Brother James Phillips. He's an icon. Larry Matthews, the Foxes, the Kings, the Johnsons, the Robinsons, the Tafts, the Prices, Coopers, Evans, Potters, Shoemakers, Talberts, Horners, Stewarts, Gores, Cowans, Red Gupton, Fowlers, Brits, McGahays, Ruby Kreminger, Happy Sapp, Sister Watson, Dot Funderburk, Deans, Childers, Vandivers, Setchfields, Fred Coulter, Ellie Johnson, Fletchers, Woodfroes, Winthrows, Phillips, Calders, Miss Arlene, and Miss Lucille. These people had a profound impact, whether they realized it or not, either through their individual lives, but also in their teaching lives as well. I hope and pray that you will continue to remember the people in Alabama during this most recent crisis. For you see, it will be a day of infamy in their lives, where 250 Alabamians lost their life in a 24-hour period. But it also says something for the church, that the church will stand up and minister to those who are hurting with the good news of hope, and that's only through Jesus Christ, and helping to give a cup of cold water in names. Let me tell you about one gentleman who passed even before I even got here, who had a profound impact upon my life, and that was John Fletcher. John Fletcher instilled in the men of this church what it meant to be on mission for God. Globally. For you see, that was one of the things that etched in my life was this was a global church when I got here. And so from John Fletcher's teaching and putting into the lives of the men of this church as they began ministering, I carried that through the rest of my ministry, and it has been propagated throughout North Carolina when I was on North Carolina Convention staff, as well as throughout the state of Alabama, because what he did was not only profound, it was biblical. So you just don't know the little things that can make a big difference. Yes, you as a church allowed Elaine and I to be individuals. You literally nursed us into what Jesus Christ can do in and through you. Allowed us to see our boys come to know Christ here and be able to baptize them. It allowed us to be able to experiment with young people in ministry and literally minister to parents and have the freedom to be able to do that. You as a church also were important in allowing my wife to be a part of GA and Acteen ministry that I always have thought had one of the best, if not the best, in the state of North Carolina. But it also, it allowed Elaine and I, we were also here that we applied for foreign missions. Even though that we weren't able to be accepted due to health challenges, there was always that part of what this church played in our life through that process. And I also learned how to hospital visit. Dr. Potter mentored me in hospital visiting. And even allowed the chance for me to fill the pulpit on occasions. But you see, that is part of the legacy of Pritchard Memorial in my life. But I want to tell you what, the impact of this church, as you give thanksgiving to him, has impacted even beyond the four walls here. It is throughout not only the state of North Carolina, but it's permeated in other states and around the world as well. Because I read your newsletter, The Messenger, religiously, sometimes even spiritually. Because I see what you are doing on mission for the Father. Look at these verses of Scripture real carefully. Hear, O Israel, starting with verse 4, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and of your gates. One day, you will have either a tombstone, a brass plate, or an urn. Every one of us. There will be a birth date, and then there will be a death date. But you know what the most important part of those, that part of the marker will be the dash. What your life did in that dash will resonate from now into the eternity. And you don't look at it from a standpoint of just filling up space and time and air. It's what God is going to do in you and through you in that dash period. For you see, there will be a time where the children will come and look over you, and what will their remarks be? What will the grandchildren's remarks be? And, you know, pardon this, but I know that some of you have always, as adult parents, have always thought our children will bury us. But some of you had had to bury your own children. And what do you say about them in the time that God has given them? What does your business associates say, will say about you, or your neighbors say about you? That will be your legacy. And it goes beyond here at the church. Or whatever church you have planted your life in, it will be known. Remember the movie, James Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life? Remember when he was so depressed and all of that, and he came to the point where he wanted to jump off the bridge, and he thought, this world will be much better without me. We know the lives that he touched, that as he tried to go back and tried to touch those people's lives who ought to remember him, he was no more. But you have to see, through the movie, yes, he did make a difference in those people's lives. Even when he didn't have anything, you saw what the town, how they felt about him. You see, that's exactly about what it is. But you'll also see in these verses of Scripture, too, that the first and most important thing that has been given to Moses, for us to understand, this is Moses' last sermon. He is ready to be, the book of Deuteronomy is literally his whole last sermon to the children of Israel as to what they need to do. Now, Deuteronomy means second law. There wasn't a second law really in here. It was a second generation. For you see, the first generation wasn't going to make it to the promised land. But it was a message to the second generation. And Moses pleaded them to remember. He also said, not only remember, you have got to be warned of what has happened in the past and take it and use it as a stepping stone for the future. You know what? That's exactly what God is saying through Moses to these verses of Scripture. In that, we have to, number one, hear, O Israel. It means literally, listen up, folks. This is important. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God. There's three legacies. There's a legacy of a father who is a godly father who literally instills in his children the godly characteristics, both in word and in deed. And that son or daughter also carries it on. And I'm not leaving the mothers out of this because they're as a part of this as anyone. And that legacy goes on up line. But then there's also the ungodly father and possibly even mother. And then there all of a sudden comes a change in the son or the daughter who literally finds hope in through Jesus Christ, and that legacy changes from the ungodly side to the godly side. But the third legacy is that the godly father and mother instill and try, but all of a sudden an ungodly son or daughter transpires. And you say, why? We've done all that we could. And as we look at the verses of Scripture, we also can be reminded of in Proverbs 22:6, is that, you know, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train literally means dedicate. You're dedicating your child. Do you dedicate your children each day to the Father? You say, well, my children are gone. That doesn't make any difference. They're still yours. Whether they move home or not, they're still yours. And you should be dedicating them to the Lord every day. Grandchildren, let me tell you something. Until God takes us out, if we have grandchildren, that is also the opportunity to continue the leading. My grandfather was a worked in a gas station, owned a gas station, never saw clean fingernails or clean hands. But I want to tell you something. When I'd jump up and move around the house early in the morning, he was in his recliner with his glasses on and his Bible open, and I knew he was reading God's Word before he went to the station. That resonates with me. A man didn't have a sixth grade education, still put the important things that he wanted to remain close to the Father. And so through that, that legacy makes a big difference in our lives. For you see, the promises, we have to look at the instructions in Proverbs 22:6. Are literally instructions that you can do all you want, but the decision-making is still with that child. But sometimes our ideals for instructing and training our children are too low. Now, I use an example because I was guilty of this just like a lot of people are guilty of this. As long as I can coach my boy in basketball or in soccer, or making sure they get to the gymnastics just right, or the cheerleading, or I've definitely got to have the studies. I am not putting any of those aspects down, but the number one that literally is the premier of all the other decisions that will be made in verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. If everything and foundation is built on that, the other things will literally help take care of that because of the fact that not only will your children hear, your grandchildren hear and see, they will see what's important in your lives. And you pray, even when you think they're okay, you pray that they stay that way. Yeah, I had a son that went off on the deep end. He was sort of a prodigal for a while. But Elaine and I never gave up on what God could do to him. And some of it came down to tough love. But also some of it came down to the very verses of Scripture found that had to be instilled into him in Galatians 6 and 7. God will not be mocked. If you belong to the Lord, He can either continue to mature you here or he can mature you there. And that is one of the things that we have to understand as parents and as grandparents, that there is a time that we continue to love them unconditionally, but we also keep before them of what you consider loving the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your might. And what will be the result? Flip over into Psalms. Look over in Psalm 78, 5 and 8. This is another aspect of what he had to promise as the psalmist give us this in verses 5 in chapter 78. It says, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they would rise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God and keep his commandments and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to the Lord." is literally, we take that verse of Scripture and we literally apply it. But after looking at a legacy of a family, let's look at legacy stumbling blocks. Every one of us in this today's society, yesterday's society, the society before, of other generations, there have always been stumbling blocks in establishing a legacy. One of those is idol. You say, well, I don't have any idols. I know your pastor's preached on the idols of today. I tell you what, society has literally conditioned us to the frog in the kettle syndrome. You know that. You know, if you throw a frog into boiling water, they'll jump right out. But I tell you what, you just put it on a slow simmer and cool and just let it warm up on its own, he'll die. Because his body conditions itself to that until he can't handle it anymore. You know what? Same thing goes for us. We can condition ourselves to what society has if we're not careful. We make those things like work. You know, work can be an idol. You say, well, I got to bring home the bacon. Yeah, God expects us to bring home the bacon. Whether you're a husband or wife, he expects that. But you know what? He's giving you a family first. And he's giving you a responsibility first. So don't make work an idol. Don't let it take away from what God has given you the responsibility. Or you could make another idol. Got to keep up with the Joneses. I want to tell you what, the Joneses will always move to the next block after you move in. You'll never get there. And that's one reason why we have such indebtedness rampant. And we owe our souls to the company store. But another idol, too, is I like sports. But you know what? The sports just dominate. Some of our people are committed so much to their ministry that I know they're sports enthusiasts, but I know that some of my guys that have been trained in disaster relief, they will leave vacation and come home to be able to serve. And I want to tell you what, they're sports-minded, they're vacation-minded, but I want to tell you what, they're more God-minded than they are either one of those. And we have to understand that part of our idols can be a sundry of things, but also a stumbling block is hate. Hate is nowhere you'll see okayed in God's Word. Hate can be aimed at people, regardless of their background or who they are, but God says, if you love me, found in 1 John 4:20, it so states, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Word how literally can be translated cannot love God whom he has not seen. You can't. God loved us unconditionally, and he expects us to love unconditionally. Do you think God loves you any more than he loves Osama bin Laden? No, sir. He desires the most hated terrorist in the world to come to know him as Lord and Savior. And he loves him and died for him just like he died for you and I. And these can be stumbling blocks. Iniquity. Literally, what comes in on your computer and on your TV screen can slowly seduct you into saying, that's all right. 20 years ago, some of the things are said or shown on TV. If it was shown today 20 years ago, son, the TV had been out the window. But you know what? We've sort of been like the frog in the kettle. We've adjusted to that. These can be stumbling blocks that can literally sink us. But you know what? A legacy of stumbling blocks, but there's also another thing. A legacy of building blocks. He doesn't care for us to stay in that position. Look at verses 6 and 8 as we look at. This is the remedy he is talking about that can be the building blocks in our life. You say, well, You can't teach an old dog new tricks. I had an old dog, and I still taught him new tricks. Don't tell me you can't learn new tricks. Don't tell me you can't go in different directions based on your age. That's a lame excuse. But he's talking about here. 6, I command you today in your hearts that you should teach them diligently. Diligently may be your wife and your kids are gone, but I want to tell you what. Still, changing makes a difference. So you're literally teaching them, you're talking about the things that God would have you to talk about and sharing. How many of you have literally allowed your children to hear your testimony? How many of your children literally know when you came to know Jesus Christ and what brought you to that point? We need to tell our children. Most important decision made in our life, and we still hold it a secret to our children. He doesn't want it to be a secret. He wants it to be known. And so through that, we have that opportunity of talking about it, writing it down. Another aspect, too, you can write one scripture down, put it on a 3x5 card, and put it on the table in your kitchen and let it stay there for a week and put it to memory. You see, hiding the words in our heart that I might not sin against this. This is part of the command. He tells us to put the words in our heart. The building blocks go on, too. Friend of mine who came up to me following a flood in Elba, Alabama, that put the water completely over the entire town. It was down in a bowl. And we had our state feeding unit there providing food. And this retired colonel, he was a Vietnam helicopter pilot, came up to me and said, I'd like to get involved in this type of ministry. And I said, okay, fine. You know, grab an apron, come on. Because then we were doing training, you know, on-job training. We sat down that night, and I didn't know him from Adam's house count other than he literally was a member of a local church, Baptist church there. And he came, and I says, Larry, tell me briefly your story. He said, I've only been a Christian for a year. I messed up my life. I used my military as an excuse, my military life as an excuse. I lost my wife, and I lost my children. When I came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and my Savior, I promised him I was going to give him every bit of all that I had till he called me home. And I'm starting right here. And so as he began growing in his relationship with Jesus Christ, and you could tell he was growing, God gave him a godly second wife. But through his growing, he literally reconciled with his former wife and with his children, and they could tell there was a difference in the man. And he sold out. He not only sold out to his church, he sold out in missions too. And so what he did, he flipped it and says, the Lord can restore. He went back and apologized to his children for the mess up that he made and to his former wife he had made. And there was reconciliation done there. You know what? We can still reconcile with those that may be closer to us, that maybe we had made a mistake of the difference that God can make in our life. And then there's last, but certainly not least, of the building blocks. Did you know every one of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are called to ministry? Our pastor here, Brother Bobby, has been called to equip us to be about ministry with him. Don't pull out your billfold. Say, that's what I paid him for. Uh-uh. He is called to equip us to be about ministry alongside of him, and every one of us have been gifted for a ministry. And you know what? You should go out of this world with a ministry attitude that I'm going to give it until he calls me home. Because the thing that we want to hear our master say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys. And you see, this is the legacy that he is asking every one of us. But you know where that legacy starts? That legacy starts with your knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You say, oh, I've got any time to do that. Let me tell you what Scripture has to say. In John 6:44, listen to it. John 6:44, it says this, as a prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk, no, wrong one. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. There will come a time that you continue to reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He'll harden your heart, and there won't be any possible. And you say, well, there's always hope. There is a time, even in Scripture, where God hardened the heart because of the rejections done for the Holy Spirit. We look at it as always hope. But there's not always hope for those who just keep rejecting unless the Father draws. Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Is He drawing you? Don't reject Him. For you see, that can be the beginning of the most profitable legacy that you'll ever establish in knowing Him as Lord and Savior. May we pray. Holy Father, You know us to our hearts. You know us our hearts better than we know them ourselves, Lord. And Father, everyone here today is by providence. No accidents here. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the word that literally knocks the barnacles on our life, barnacles of our life off, in order to make us the vessel You have created us and desire us to be. Father, I pray that if anyone here that has never asked You to come into their heart, that today will be the day of salvation. But there may be some here, Father, that are literally know Jesus Christ, but they are just holding on to a lot of stuff in their life, and they've never entrusted it into Your hands, for You want to be Lord of all their life. And Father, there are some here that You're knocking on their heart's door to come and be a part of this ministry here. Father, may they not hold back. May they come forth knowing that You're calling them here to be a part of the ministry. And through any of these decisions, Father, the decisions that we have the right to make or to reject, that You will move, allow Your Holy Spirit to move in our lives. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord.